think I just catch my breath and ask for the Holy Spirit to just help me. I want to share with you three scenes. The little boy, it's his first day at school, and he doesn't want to go. He wants to stay at home with Mum. And so she's got his hand, and she takes him to the school gate, and she kisses him goodbye, and she sees a little tear coming down his cheek, and she waves as he goes into big school. Second scene, young married couple had a wonderful wedding. They're ready to go off on their honeymoon. The guests have tied cans to the back of the car, and off they go, and people wave. And the third scene, little Jane is in the school play, and the curtains open up, and she forgets for one moment that she's in roll, and she catches the eye of her mum and dad, and she waves, and she waves. Do you remember in Sunday school when you had attendance labels with pictures, and the idea was to have a whole full book of pictures? And I remember the one for Jesus entering Jerusalem with his white, he was all in white, and there were the crowds waving and greeting him. So we begin Holy Week. This is the beginning of Holy Week. And we've already heard the Bible reading that Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem. And he also weeps over Jerusalem because he knows exactly what is going to happen. And then Monday, the fig tree is cursed and the temple cleared. And then on Tuesday, the fig tree withers and it dies. And Wednesday, there's no biblical record. Thursday, we've got the Last Supper, the Gethsemane prayer, and Judas's betrayal. And then Friday, Good Friday, we've got him tried, denied, crucified, and buried. Saturday, the tomb is guarded, and Sunday, we have the resurrection appearance to the disciples. So this is why we say now, this is Holy Week. So we were in Jerusalem for Jesus' final year of early life. The city was stirred with excitement of the feast days. They were prepared to welcome a king. Rumor had it about Jesus, and they were prepared, while others prepared for his execution. And Jesus himself draws the battle line by driving the money changers out of the temple. And the religious leaders double their efforts to trap Jesus as a treacherous statesman. But Jesus continues his activities. Do you notice he never rushes, does he? He never seems to rush. And so he characterized his earthly ministry by being calm, by carrying on his teaching, by healing, confronting, and consoling. And we've heard that insight into Zechariah, a 50, if you like, philosophically, a 500-year saddle on a colt. It was 500 years since that prophecy had taken place. So as we read the Bible story, and as we sing Hosannas on Palm Sunday, I dare say we've got a mixture of emotions which stirs in our minds. This brings to us a moment of joy and of triumph, but also of tragedy, as we know what is going to happen. And when Jesus decides to travel to Jerusalem, he takes the longer route. He knows exactly what is going to happen. He knows that what's going to happen because he witnessed the killing of John the Baptist a few months later. So he's in no confusion about what happens. And he knows that he will not come back. And that's perhaps why he took so long. So Jesus doesn't take the direct route to Jerusalem, takes a longer route. And also nearly at the last moment, as he reaches the outskirts of Jerusalem, he stops at Bethany, where he's got friends, and where he summons all his strength to say, "Behold, we are going now to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men." He knew exactly what was going to happen. And unlike us, Jesus enters Jerusalem with gallantry. of a hero who says, "Death and wickedness, be not proud." Ironically, he chooses a donkey, and the people respond with hosannas, and they believe, many of them, that the nation of Israel is being formed. This is the promised Messiah, while others are plotting his downfall. We must remember in those days that Jerusalem is not like perhaps it is now. It was controlled by the Roman army with an iron fist, or the stuffy Pharisees and their religious biasness. And nothing had changed in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. In the eye of what Jesus was doing to the people who wanted him killed, this was horrendous what he was doing. Coming in, causing a stir, having people shout and scream and wave and do hosannas. Much has been written about the Palm Sunday crowd. How could they say hosanna, one word, and then on Sunday they say crucify him? How could they be so fickle? How could the waves turn into something else? When Andrew Lloyd Webber's play came on, Jesus Christ Superstar, we didn't go to see it. But a few weeks ago they had, I think it was the birthday of Andrew Lloyd Webber, and they were saying, and it's playing some of the music, and listen to one of these choruses from Andrew Lloyd Webber. "Christ, you know I love you. Did you see I waved? I believe in you, O God, so tell me that I'm saved." He doesn't rebuke the crowd, and they feel it's easy. Just that one gesture had got them saved, will get them saved, but they've lost the point. And I think that Andrew Webber, in his musical, has caught perhaps something of the indifference of people and the hypocrisy, shall I say, of us all, sometime or other. We wave, but so often it becomes this. And so I think Andrew Webber catches something that in the musical, that people had the chance, it was a triumphal entry. What was being offered to them was new life. And the price was too high for many of them. They had a choice of listening to Jesus and of realizing why he came. He came to carry their burdens. But it was too much for many of them. So how does Palm Sunday affect us? When Jesus offered people everything for a new life, the people knew exactly what that would mean. It would mean a change of lifestyle. The people knew what he meant. It would mean a complete change in their religion and their life. But the price was too high. And this is the tragic pathos of Palm Sunday. We have it all offered to us, but so often we deny it. We have the beautiful redemptive power of Jesus offered to us. And they stood, and we stand sometimes on the threshold of life, and we reject it. So we hesitate when Jesus goes that way, and we're not always willing to make the sacrifice. But he paid his ultimate price, absolute love, and he'll never give up on us. And that's why we do sing, ride on in majesty. And so here we are at the cusp of Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and all that it means about the cross and Jesus' redemptive power to that cross, for us, for me, for you. And some of us, and all of us here I'm sure, have made that decision already. Yes, I want life. I want life in all its fullness, and I want life with Jesus. But this process that was well prophesied has to take part. And we'll go through this week and we'll do our Bible readings. And on Thursday we'll gather around the communion table and we will remember that sacrifice of love. No other religion has done it. No one will ever love us so much to give up their own lives. So we've got Palm Sunday as a prelude to what is coming, the greatest sacrifice of all. And then that marvellous, marvellous raising of the dead, raising of Jesus on Easter Monday. So as the crowds of old sang Hosanna in the name of the people there, the Christians, as they got excited about him coming, I want to ask you one question. Did I see you wave? Let's just pray, shall we? Loving Heavenly Father, as we gather together to sing praises to you, we give you the glory. We pray for you to be with us by your Holy Spirit, not only today, but on all the days of our lives. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can say we waved for Jesus. And Lord, may our waves never turn into clenched fists. And so may there be love in our hearts, Lord, as we approach this week, as we behold the Lamb of God and the sacrifice that you made. And Lord, whether we have been Christian for 50 years or 5 years, may we renew again that sense of awe and triumph for what you did for us. And indeed, Lord, may we wave and wave and wave and say thank you, Jesus, for Palm Sunday. Thank you, Jesus, for Holy Week. Thank you, Jesus, for a difference you've made to my life and the people's lives here, as we wave and wave for you, showing our faith, showing our joy, but most of all, Lord, showing our appreciation of Holy Week and all it means to us as Bible-believing Christians. And we ask these things in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.